Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. I want to look at our scripture we started with. What did I tell you? Proverbs 18? I'm wrong. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, 12. Now, I want to remind you, I want to tell you all this morning to just remind you, and some of y'all, how many of y'all have a computer? How many of y'all know how to work that computer? If you have a computer, you can go onto our website, thewaterhole.net. It's not .org, it's .net, thewaterhole.net, all one word, and you go onto the website, and up in the right-hand corner, there's a little box up there for YouTube. And if you click on there, it takes you to the YouTube site, and then all the messages, that's when we have the lights on this morning, the cameras, and everything, you can go right there, and you can view everything on the Sunday morning services. Jake back there gets them up for us and gets them out, and so they come out every week, the services there. So if you know somebody says, what kind of a crazy church do you go to? So we just go watch it on YouTube and see. If you think you can handle that guy, come on, tear you off a piece, okay? That way, everybody don't have to worry about wonder if we're handling snakes in here or anything like that. You know, they can see it right there live. It's all on evidence right there. What's going on? Amen? So, and it's also a great thing if you miss services. Look at the person beside you and say, did you miss lately? Now, if you miss services, well, it's a great way to keep up with what's going on because, you know, I always preach in series. I usually preach in series 90% of the time. And so I've got a running message going. And so you miss a service, go to the website and watch it. Now, there's also, you just go to the media page, all the audio is down there. If you don't want to look at me, you can listen to the same thing. So either way you want to do it, you know. But anyway, I'm there. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be around forever. Amen? Amen. So anyway, take advantage of that. Tell your friends about that. People that say, well, I can't, because we're on the radio too. You can go to listen to it on the radio broadcast on KCTA out of Corpus Christi. Come on at 8:45 Monday through Friday. That's 10:30 a.m. station. You can do that, but a lot of us can't get it up here. You're not. That's not the right time you're around it. So you can do it now. If you're really up to par, you can actually go to the website, download the message onto your iPhone or your iPad or iPod or your whatever. Put that thing down on there, any MP3 player format, put it on there, and you just carry it around with you all the time. So, I mean, the world is full of technology. You might as well take advantage of it. Amen? So really no excuse. You see, I can only take that preacher for about 15 minutes. Preach is too long. Well, just listen to 15 minutes of the message. Okay, whatever. Proverbs 13, 12. This is where I started preaching about a tree of life. It says in Proverbs 13, 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. I know every one of us in here, we've prayed before. We've thought we were, you know, whatever. We were in a situation. We prayed. We wanted to see God move and nothing happened. And it made us sick. It made us discouraged in life. It made us think that, you know, what's wrong? What's going on? You know, and you went through this whole gamut of feelings and emotions of trying to keep your faith going until you finally came to the place of, well, I just don't want to even pray. And so it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Now, the Bible, I don't want to get into it all. You have to go back and listen to the other messages. But a tree of life is originally in the garden. And when Adam and Eve sinned, God said, we got to get them out of here. We got to set some angels in here and don't let them get to the tree of life. Because if they do, they're going to live forever in that state. And God didn't want man to be like that. He wanted us to be redeemed. He wanted us to be saved. He wanted us to be in his presence. He didn't want us with a life of sin. The tree of life is also talked about in the book of Revelation, that at the end of the end of the age, the end of the world, whenever we're in heaven, that it says just the leaves from the tree of life heals nations. Just the leaf. That's a pretty powerful tree. But the Bible goes on and says that if we would understand God's principles and his precepts, and we would have a revelation from heaven about them. You see, now that's the key. That's what I've been preaching on for the last couple of weeks. to have a revelation about God's principles and precepts. Those revelations will become a tree of life in us. In other words, there's a day that you were, however it happened to you, all of us have a testimony in here of some way that we met Jesus. You may have been in trouble, you may not have been in trouble, you may have been raised in church, you may have never been in the doors of a church. However, whatever your testimony is, but one day you heard the gospel preached somehow, whether it was your friend told you about Jesus or something happened, something clicked, something happened in you, and you were like, that's right, I want Jesus to be my Savior. And the moment you did that, that was what happened in your life, is a tree of life got started of salvation in you because you had a revelation of who Jesus was. Now, somebody tried to talk you out of it, somebody tried to tell you that's not right, you were like, no, something happened, something changed in me. Something's different. I met Jesus. I'm not the same as I was. I can see him in my... Because see, you got a revelation. Now you're eating for the fruit off of that tree in your life. You're eating the fruit from it. It's bringing you blessings in life. Somebody says, listen, man, you're sorry. You're going to go to hell. You say, no, I ain't going to hell. I may be sorry, but bless God, I'm redeemed and saved and I'm going to heaven. How can you say that? Because it's a revelation on the inside of you. You don't have to have a manual. You don't have to have a church certificate. You don't have to have anything to tell you that. You know something happened to you down on the inside of you. Hello? That is a tree of life. So God's principles, there's hundreds of God's principles. But a lot of times we never learn any more than that one principle. We never go on in life. We never study God's word. We never find out what God really says. We listen to preachers and religion and churches and doctrine and dogmas try to tell us about God, but we never go find him for ourselves. Hello. Look at the person beside you and say, God, I just love this guy. Come on, give me some encouragement here. We can't do that. We've got to learn it. We've got to experience it. If you just hear something preached and that's all it was, and you say, oh, that was a great message, you walk out the door and you never do anything with it, you're going to forget it. And then you're going to be sitting around there saying, what was Pastor talking about? You know, what was going on? What was that he said? Because you didn't learn it. You didn't experience it. You didn't walk in it. The only way you can ever learn anything is to do it. Hello? I don't care what you're doing, baking a cake, driving a car, trying to learn how to drive a truck, trying to learn how to do anything. Unless you do it yourself, you can read all the manuals you want to, you can watch all the videos you want to, you can see everything you want to, but unless you do it yourself, it's not going to be real to you. Hello? So, every time you experience Jesus and you understand one of his principles and it gets down into your soul, it becomes a revelation to you. That's a tree of life to you. Every time you can go... And you get in another problem, another trouble, you can pick up a leaf, you can take off a branch, you can eat from it, and it's going to bring you life. So we went through all of this, and so last week, I really started stepping on your toes, because I talked about who we are in Christ before that, and all the great things, and I built you all up and made it all nice and fluffy, and then we started talking about how you're going to actually apply it, right? Because it doesn't do me any good to preach and tell you these things, but don't tell you how to apply it. You got to understand how to apply it. So we start talking about the applications of getting a tree of life in you. Amen. And so I brought up the ugly topic or subject of your tongue last week. Had horrible, dirty looks from people. Had to go home. Just pray that y'all going to still love me, man. I saw looks and said, sure. Nothing wrong with my tongue. Yeah, that right there is what I'm talking about. Go to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4. Proverbs 15, 4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. If you flip on over to Proverbs 18, 21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You notice it says death first? I believe it's written that way because we probably have more death spewing out of our mouth than we do life spewing out of our mouth. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Your tongue produces fruit. Church, listen to me. Words are not just things that fall out of our mouth and fall to the ground. Words have power. Words have the ability to change things. You can manipulate situations just by simply the words that you use. You can. Think about it. Think about it in life. Just a simple principle. I'm going to get in trouble on this one, but it's a perfect example. Your wife comes in and she has on a blouse or a dress and she says, "How does this make me look?" I mean, right there, the first thing you have to repent of is lying no matter what, because you're going to say, unless you just really need some help, you're going to say, "It makes you look great." And it may make her look like an apple. But if you were to say those words, "Really? You're going to wear that? It makes you look just like an apple." So I'm getting some strange looks already. I'm not feeling the love on my example here. If you just say that out of your mouth, you just said some words, but it's going to put a thought and a mind and an image, man, they're going to go in there and change. They're going to be mad at you for months. You're going to be eating out of a can. I've seen it, man, as I worked as a carpenter, I'd see it. The days that we used to drive nails with hammers, you know, now you need a nail gun. But you'd say, "Hey, don't hit your finger on that. That board's really loose, don't hit your finger." Just to say that, is this going to make them look at their thumb and hit it with a hammer? The power of words, the power of suggestion, the power of what you're saying. He says it's going to either be a tree of life to you and it's going to produce good fruit, or it's going to be death. If your mouth starts lining up with God's word, it's like I say right now. Folks, listen to me. One of the reasons I believe with all of my heart that it's not raining in Texas is because we can't get an agreement over nothing. Just turn the news on and see how encouraged you are after you listen to the weatherman. He says, "That ain't no change. That high sitting on top of us. It's just going to get hotter. We ain't got no chance. That high is going to be here. We're going to be, we don't know when it's going to come off of us." And then see how many people are agreeing with you. You say, "Well, Robert, that's just the facts." Okay, that is the facts. But whose facts? There comes a time and a place in life you're either going to live by what the world says or you're going to live by what the Word says. Isaiah 52 says, "Who's going to believe my report?" God says. He says, "Who's going to believe my report?" The world always wants to give us a report based upon scientific and natural things. And I want to state this point, that a weatherman is wrong more times than he's right. Yet everybody listens to him. You turn on the news, I do it. "Well, let's see what the weather is." I could call somebody in Junction and find out closer what the weather is going to be than watching the news. And they pay the guy. It's ridiculous. All I'm saying is you come to a time in life that your tongue's going to either have to line up with what the world says or your tongue's going to have to line up with what the Word says. And if the Word says that my God will supply every need that we have, then my God will supply rain. If we'd get an agreement. But we can't get an agreement. And when there's no agreement, God's not going to move. That's one of His principles. He wants agreement. Amen? But let me show you this. If you would, go to the book of Mark chapter 11. Let me just show you something. Because I need to get on into the next one. But I want to go. You have to. If you want the whole message on the tongue, you're going to have to go back and get last week's message. Jesus had no problem speaking God's word when situations of the world said something one way and he said something the other way. Mark 11, it says, "Now in the day when Jesus had come out of Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree far off having leaves, he went to see it. Perhaps it would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing on it but leaves, for it is not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.'" Okay, now, This is not a mistranslation. This is not something that's not in most Bibles. There's no way you're going to cut this one out. Jesus, the Son of God, spoke to a tree. Now, it seems odd, but you see there was something going on. It says it wasn't the season for figs. He went over there and he looked. And it wasn't the season for figs, but the tree had leaves on it. And in Israel, the fig trees, when they produce leaves, they also produce figs. So he walked over there to it, thought, this is a strange thing. Why does this tree have leaves on it? And then he got to look at it, it had no fruit. It had leaves, but no fruit. And so Jesus cursed it. Because it was something that was producing a fluff or a leaf like, hey, I've got fruit, but when you got over there to it, it didn't have anything. It was a lying fig tree. Right? It was a lying fig tree. It was saying by its leaves, I have fruit, but when you looked at it, it didn't have nothing. Hello? Like maybe sometimes Christians got lots of little leaves around them, but they got nothing on the inside of them. My job would be so easy if Christians would just be Christians. It's like I've told you time and time again, when I travel and I go through airports, I don't ever want to tell anybody I'm a preacher. This is the dumbest thing in the world to say. Man, I make up stuff. Because if I say I'm a preacher, they're going to sit the first thing and say, yeah, preachers, I hate preachers. I went to a church one time, did this, did that. You know, a Christian did this to me. Only time I ever been stolen from in line, ripped off in business because I was dealing with some Christians. And, you know, I get this kind of stuff all the time. So I just got to where I don't even listen to it anymore. Don't even want to, you know, get into that unless I see that there's something going on. And then I come from the angle that I don't know Jesus, and I try to work this out, and then we make a conversation that way. I work it around. But if I don't ever tell them I'm a preacher, worst thing in the world to do. And, of course, looking like I do, it's easy to get away with it. Most of the time I had to convince them, like pull a card out and say, no, look, I really am a card-carrying preacher. Here's the cards. No. I said, no, you're not. This is a lying fig tree. Jesus went up to it. He saw it. It was supposed to have fruit on it, and he cursed it. Now, if you read on down into verse 20, it says, in the morning, the next morning, so they went all off, and the next morning they come back. They passed by. They saw the fig tree, and it was dried up from its roots. Now, y'all know that if a tree has got leaves on it, then it's going to have sap in it, doesn't have leaves produced on it, and then it would instantly one day dry up. It was a miracle. And Peter, remembering him, said, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. So Jesus answered and he said to them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you that whatsoever you say to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have received them, and you will have them. Now Jesus just said what I'm preaching. Actually, I'm preaching what he said. He said, if you've got a mountain, you've got an obstacle, you've got a problem in life, he said, you're going to have to say something to it. But he says, the only thing that you say something to that's going to move is because you believed it in your heart. You had a revelation of it. You had a tree of life in you. Folks, listen to me. We throw up millions of prayers that have no basis for even scriptural principles. We pray and ask God to do things that if he did, Lord, the world would be in a worse place than it is right now if he answered every prayer. Think how many dead people there'd be. It'd be a bad place, man. You need to live in the hills and not ever talk to anybody. And I brought this point out last week about like Mama used to say, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. You got to come to a place in life that you have to be sensitive and listen to what are you saying out of your mouth. Because if you're cursing I'm not talking cussing. I also made that distinction last week. There's one thing about cussing, and there's another thing about cursing. Cussing is just foul talk, but cursing means you're saying, you're giving a directive out of your mouth negatively to someone, to something, to whatever it be. And I'm telling you, if that is the truth, listen to me. If your tongue's loose, you're slaying all of your dreams before they can ever happen. On one hand, you're saying, oh, God, please make this, you know, please let me and my husband have a good day together, and let's get along together today. And then he wakes up and he said, stupid idiot, you know, what are you, you know? And already you got cursing coming out of your mouth. Somebody at least smile at me. Come on. You can't say the negative out of mouth. You can't pray the positive and say the negative and think you're going to get anything. Your tongue just slew everything God was trying to make. You've knocked down cities. You've made grand canyons in your life with your tongue. And until you get your tongue under control, James 3 says, if we can get our tongue under control, we can control everything in our life. Wow. Everything in our life. The other day, I wasn't in too good of a mood. Imagine that. I need to get the oil changed in my Harley, so I decided I'm leaving. So I left the house, and I fasted. I fasted saying anything. You try this sometime. I determined I wasn't going to let anything come out of my mouth that was negative. I had to talk to people. I had to say things to people. But I was going to determine I wasn't going to let anything come out of my mouth negative. I found myself the best place riding on my Harley and did not say a thing. Just keep your mouth shut. You want to keep your mouth shut when you're on a motorcycle anyway. But just keep your mouth shut. I didn't say anything. I guarantee you what, I did not speak for 4 hours. Because I knew anything coming out of my mouth wasn't going to be good. So I didn't say nothing for 4 hours. At first it was a challenge. After that, it just got to be, hey, just don't say anything. A thought would come to my head and I'd say, don't open your mouth. And I know that at least I lost no ground that day. Y'all with me? That was my strategy. I wasn't losing. Because I didn't really feel like fighting for advancement. I just did not lose any ground because I didn't say nothing out of my mouth that was going to be negative. And the only way I could keep myself like that was don't say nothing. Try it sometimes. Some of you, it'd just kill you. Some of you, I'd be like, couldn't do it. So let's take the fig tree example and turn it around for just a second. Let's just say Jesus is trying to grow a fig tree in your life. He's trying to produce something, but what you said out of your mouth cursed it and killed it. How do you know that what you've prayed for, God hadn't got it started growing and making and coming to completion in your life, but you killed it somewhere along the way with your own tongue and then blame God for it? Just a thought. Jesus spoke to storms and they ceased. Jesus spoke to bread and it multiplied. Jesus spoke to water and it turned into wine. Jesus spoke to the dead and they came to life. Jesus spoke to you. And he said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. What are we going to do with it? If Jesus spoke to the dead and they came alive, when Jesus speaks to you, life comes. Hello? Okay, I'm on to the second one now. What have I been like 8 or 9 weeks and I just got to point two? I'm good. The second thing, I'm going to get off the tongue because I can't take it anymore. I can't take y'all's looks anymore. The pressure is just... Number two. Now, please, don't anybody bolt for the doors. They're locked anyway. You can't get out, so... Not really. And let me get... into this statement before you run. Look at Proverbs 11:30. Proverbs 11:30. This is going to be the second point. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The second thing, if you can control your tongue, you're going to start and get it under control. You're going to start to make a tree of life in you. The second thing you can do is you can understand what righteous living it really is. Now, religion preaches righteous living is just not doing things that are wrong. But I beg to differ. Because just because you don't do wrong things, that's not what Jesus is interested in. He's interested in what's inside your heart. And you can just not want to do wrong things because you don't want to go to jail. Hello? Look at the person beside you and say, howdy. See, the world says if you don't drink, smoke, and cuss, man, you're a good Christian. Oh, drink, smoke, cuss, and dancing. I forgot about dancing. Then you're a good Christian. So if you get those four things under, you can be a lying, cheating, womanizer, sorry, dog face, whatever. But if you got those four things and you look all right and pious, they say, oh, he's a righteous man. Bull. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible said he's talking about your heart and what's inside your heart. And righteous living doesn't come from keeping yourself under control. Some people could just be more disciplined than others. Righteous living comes from understanding what the blood of Jesus has done for you in your life and living under his blood and living under repentance and living under a life under Jesus. That's righteous living. Hello? Go, if you would, to the book of the very first book, Genesis chapter 4. Let's look at this. I want to talk to you for a minute about the blood. In Genesis chapter 4, over in verse 10, you have the story of Cain and Abel. And two brothers get in a fight over let's put this in perspective here. Two brothers are in a fight over who gave the best gift to God. Heck of a thing to be talking about, huh? There's some other issues that we're not really seeing in there. Right? And so Cain kills Abel. They get in a fight and he kills him. And then God comes to him and says to him, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. His blood cried out to him? Now think of this. If Abel's blood was crying out to God, hey, this is, you know, I've been murdered. My brother killed me, whatever. His blood's crying out. Well, then blood speaks. Everybody say blood speaks. You know, blood, everything is in the life is in the blood. Everything in you is about your blood. Take all your blood out of you, you're going to die. Everything, your life is in the blood. Everything is contained within the blood. Go look over now the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and let's look at something about Jesus. Verse 24, Hebrews 12, 24. It says, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Wait a minute. It says that the blood of Jesus speaks better things than Abel. What would Abel's blood have spoken? Vengeance, right? Justification. Revenge. That's what his blood would have been speaking. It says the blood of Jesus speaks. And the blood of Jesus speaks over your life. Now think about this. You know, our whole concept of church here this morning, we've got, praise God, we've got air conditioning. And we've got a really nice building and a really comfortable chairs. And you're coming into a controlled environment and we're all out here. But in the days when you know, the days of Moses and the law was instituted. Just imagine what church had been all the way up until Jesus. That you were coming to church loading up livestock to be slaughtered in church to pay for your sin that week. I pray when we get to heaven we got DVDs on everything, because I really want to see the DVD on how this worked. Because can you imagine coming to church and you, one person over there has got a little cage with, you know, one little turtle dove in it going, and somebody else is backing up a semi. Bring an old truck in here. We got to unload all those big old heifers off her. I mean, you got to get people to help you make the sacrifice for your sin that week. Yeah, it was a rough week. Had a rough week, boys. Going to need extra priest over here. Get this slaughtered. I had a rough week. Got a lot of sinning going on. Imagine the gossip going on. As somebody brought their sin and said, they had a wild week this week. Right? It was all evident. And so you took your sacrifice. You took the little lamb or whatever you had up there to the altar. And we've got to understand, these things were large. This is not like some little coffee table. This is a huge altar. And then it's got wood and fire. I mean, they're having like a Texas barbecue. And they bring the animal in there, and there's a priest in there, and these guys are professional slaughter guys. They're butchers. I don't mean butcher like bad. I mean a butcher like they know how to carve up meat. And they bring them in there, and I mean it's knives and blood and throat cutting and blood's everywhere. And you know, there's these other guys walking around there, got the incense shakers, you know, and they're slinging incense because it smells horrible, trying to keep the flies away from everything. You imagine getting all dressed up and dolled up like you did this morning to go out there to get to a slaughter? You go in there and there's blood everywhere and it's splattered and it's going and they're cutting the guts out of it and they're cutting the fat off of it and they're cutting the meat off of it and they're skinning this thing. And folks, this is a bloody mess. Now, you know, however many people we got in church there, if every one of y'all had an animal, I mean, we'd be here for a while. Right? You got meat and stuff and guts being thrown up on the fire. You ever thrown guts on a fire? I mean, I'm being kind of crude here, but I want you to get the point. You went to church. It was work. Right? I mean, it'd make going to the auction ring look easy. And there's blood slinging around everywhere. And blood was involved in everything. And when the Day of Atonement came, the priests, when they made the sacrifice there and they slayed the red heifer and they put all everything on the, and they went through all of this stuff for it, and the people were all lined up, the priest would take a hyssop bush, which is, you know, kind of like a sage bush, and he would take it and he would put it in the blood and then he'd sling it on everybody. Whoosh! Now imagine you positioned yourselves on those mornings. She definitely didn't want me on the front row on the morning of the blood slinging. Or maybe you did. Either way, you're talking about, there's a lot in that. Y'all with me? And nowadays we just come into church and sit down, listen to the guy preach and go off. There's no interaction. But if you were in sin, or you had to make a peace offering or a trespass offering or any one of these types of offerings you had to make, joy was in your heart when the priest was doing everything, because you knew that you did what you needed to do in order to be cleansed. So yeah, it was work. It was work, but it was work that brought you joy, because at the end of the ceremony, you knew you were okay with God. Now listen to me. Do you realize how much we've cheapened our grace Because nowadays in life, we throw up flippant prayers and say, oh, well, you know, flippant repentance and flippant prayers for God's grace upon our lives. And we just kind of flip things out there and say, yeah, I'm okay with God. But do you realize how much work was involved to be okay with God then? And what I'm telling you is that we never need to cheapen our grace. Because the only way we are righteous in life, because I don't care how many little old ladies you helped across the street, I don't care how much money you gave, I don't care that you started an orphanage. Listen to me, all that we do in Guatemala and all the kids that we help down there, that does not make any of us any more righteous. We do it because it's inside of my heart, I want to help them. I hear their stories and I want to touch them, I want to do it, and God called me to do it. But it doesn't make me righteous to do it. It brings me joy when I hear the stories. Like the last 11 kids we got, every one of them came off the streets from being prostituted. 11 kids now brought in there. Going to be taken care of. All their medical, their schooling. They'll live out their lives right there. They're going to grow up and they're going to be smart. They're going to be educated. They're going to have multiple, they'll be able to speak multiple languages. They're going to be able to just go out there in the world and just do whatever in the world they want to do. And it's all because of Jesus. Now that brings me joy. I sometimes have to pray because it thinks also it'd bring me joy to just get a rubber hose and go down there and work a few of those people over. But anyway, it's another port I'm working through. Y'all with me? But it doesn't make me more righteous. It doesn't make my prayers get answered. It doesn't give me a better open door with God because God knows who I am. Oh, yeah, that's Robert. He helps with the orphans. Yeah, we need to let him in. That's bull. That's crazy. I have people come to me before and say, Pastor, if you pray, God will hear. I say, no. God will hear when I pray because I'm righteous, but he's not going to hear my prayers anymore than he would yours. We got to understand what righteousness is, and we understand what righteousness is. Knowing that we're righteous is a tree of life to us. Knowing that we can stand before the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth and all therein, and know that we're accepted. It's a powerful thing in your life. And the only way that can be is because of the blood of Jesus. You have made him your Savior. You have asked him to come into your life. He's a part of your life. You know that by his blood is made you right. Nothing else. There's nothing else. There's nothing else that can merit any favor in God's eyes but the blood of Jesus. Now, we want to keep doing good works. Because that's what our heart wants us to do. But we don't do good works to be righteous. Amen? Now I want to show you one other Old Testament story here. Leviticus chapter 14. Because I'm not going to get off this blood yet. The blood is always crying out and the blood is always speaking. I want to show you one of the Old Testament laws in Leviticus chapter 14. And it was a law of cleansing a leper. Now, we don't see much leprosy, but there's still leprosy in the world today. We don't see a lot of it here in the United States, but there is leprosy. And leprosy is something horrible to get because body parts just rot and fall off of you. Simply put, you could wake up in the morning, you got to see how many fingers and toes you have left because they just rot and fall off of you. How many of you have ever felt like in life that a piece of you has been lost? Had a bad situation, had a bad something happen in life, you feel like you lost a piece of you. Well, this may help you here to understand what the law was for cleansing a leper. It says, Then the Lord said to Moses, say, this is the law of the leper. For the day of his cleansing, he should be brought to a priest. Yeah, hold on just a second. My technology's got me off here. Look at the person beside you and say, man, I just love to come to church. Look at the person beside you and say, I'm glad I don't have leprosy. So the Lord spoke to Moses saying, this is the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him indeed if leprosy is healed in the leper. And then the priest shall command him, who is to be cleansed, to take two living, clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Now stop there for a second. You remember the day that when the leper came to Jesus and he says, Lord, if you're able, you can make me clean. And he says, you're clean. Now go show yourself to the priest. This is what he was talking about. He wanted the guy to go show himself to the priest because if the leprosy was cleansed, if the leper had some way that the, you know, whatever, through a miracle or through whatever, his leprosy had changed and it no longer was an active leper, then he could go to the priest and the priest would go and examine him. And if he saw that the truly he had no leprosy on him, then this process started to take place. Now, if you remember, there was a time when Jesus, there was seven other lepers that were cleansed all at once and only one of them returned to give God praise. Well, that's what he told him to do. Go to the priest and do this. So let's read on. And as for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar with the scarlet and the hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. So y'all following me on this? Let's just say it was two doves. He took the first dove and he, you know, pulled its head off or did whatever. And the blood started coming out and he let the blood run over running water into a bowl. It was caught. So the water was going to be red, right? So the blood of the dead bird went into the bowl. Then they took the living bird. And they stuck the living bird down in the bowl of the bloody water. So now he's holding on. The priest is holding on to a bloody live bird and a bloody dead bird. Look at this. Verse 7. He shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be clean. So now he's throwing the blood on the leper, the guy. And shall pronounce that he is clean. Now listen, just get this picture, okay? You're a leper. Body parts have been falling off of you. And no longer are you a leper now. And you're standing before the priest. You would not care what he's going to do to you, right? You no longer are a leper. The joy that would have been in your heart, the excitement that would have been in your life to say, my God, this is about to be the pronouncement, man. Oh God, I'm free from leprosy. It's not going to eat me alive anymore. And the priest has got this dead bird and he's dripping this blood over on you. And he's got this live bloody bird. He's going to pronounce him. He shall let the living bird loose in an open field. So he takes a living bird and he throws the living bird up and this bloody living bird flies off. And the pronouncement's done. You no longer are a leper. Now you can go and function in society. You can go buy at the store because you're not an outcast. You're not stuck outside the camp. You're not cast away. You can come right into town. You can buy your groceries. You can sit at the gate with the elders. You can go to church. You can go do whatever because, man, you're cleansed. Hello? That'd be pretty joyful. I mean, you've been living in a leper colony. It cannot be good in a leper colony. I don't think there's much positive things in a leper colony. But listen to me, you may be living in a leper colony in your life now. You may be surrounded by death and body parts falling off and you may be wounded and you may be beat up and this world may be eating your lunch. But let me tell you something, you don't have to be a leper anymore. You don't have to live under the leprosy of sin. You don't have to let sin come in there and rob from you and steal from you. You don't have to live a life of guilt and shame because of your past. The Bible says that you can be cleansed and freed from the blood, by the blood of Jesus. Colossians 1:21 says you can be made holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight by the blood of Jesus. Whoo, man. I didn't get the blood of a bird poured over me. I got the blood of my Savior poured over me that washed me and cleansed me and declared in the courts of heaven that I can go into the courts of heaven by the blood of Jesus. His righteousness, not my righteousness. Walk up to the throne and say, hey, Dad, how's it going? You say, oh, you can't talk to God like that. You've been around religion too much. You've been listening to the do's and the don'ts. You got the do and don't list over here. I got the express pass to the throne list on my side. You've been letting all the stuff shirts say, oh, you can't do that. I mean, look at you, what you do. You're a sinner. You can't go into the presence of God. He'll kill you. He would if I didn't have the blood on me. But I got the blood on my life. And when you start to get this revelation, let me tell you, church, you'll never live another day in shame. You'll never live another day in guilt, because you'll fall on your knees and repent when you've done wrong and say, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. What an amazing God that will forgive me and wash me in the blood over and over again, no matter how many times I mess up, because I'm going to get it right someday, God. Hello? Are y'all following me here? What a glorious thing. What a joy, man. The leprosy's gone. The sin's gone. It can't touch you anymore because you're living in the righteousness of God. What he set up. Listen to me. I didn't make the rules. He did. I didn't make the rules. He did. Praise God, he did. And the devil will lie to you, and this world will lie to you, and religion will lie to you, and they'll tell you all these things, the reason why you can't do what I'm telling you to do. But I'm telling you it's bull. Because the Bible, I'm going to believe it every day, that it says, my righteousness is in what I believe, and my faith, not what I do. You're with me, church? It becomes a tree of life to you. Comes a tree of life to you. It sounds such a tree of life to you that that word actually says there in Proverbs when he talked about what was it? Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Why would that be put underneath there? Because when you understand righteousness, then it's easy to go talk to somebody else, and they say, "Man, I feel so guilty. I don't want to go to church. I feel guilty. Why do you feel guilty? Let's repent and get right. Let me show you how. Talk. Just ask Jesus." See, righteous people win souls. Righteous people have something to say. So many times I have to remind myself, it's all about Jesus, man. It isn't about anything else but Jesus. It isn't about anything else but getting people to know Jesus. Are you with me? Church, listen, put your Bibles up for a minute and stand to your feet. And listen to me for a moment. If you're here, or if you're listening by audio, or you're watching by whatever means you'd be watching, computer. Listen to me. If right now this is good news to you, right now you've been living under guilt, you've been living under shame, you've been living wishing that you weren't a leper, sin's been eating you up. Listen, something's got you bound and you can't get free. Listen to me here. Something's got you bound and you can't get free. Inside of you, you know, you say, man, I wish I wasn't doing that anymore. I need to stop. And you've been saying, Jesus, help me stop. Jesus, help me stop. I want to tell you what it takes to stop. It takes an understanding of righteousness. It takes an understanding that you can go to your Father and repent and ask him to set you free. If you don't think God's going to listen to your prayers, listen to me, you have no faith. And you have no basis inside of you for even asking. You're going to shy away every time. But when you know that you know that you know that it's the blood of Jesus that sets you free, then you can go to your Heavenly Father and say, Father, I'm coming to you today by the blood of Jesus. I know I don't deserve it. I don't. This is too good to be true. But Lord, you made the rules and I'm just going to walk in them. Folks, can we do that? Can we believe the Bible's true? Then right now I want to pray for you. I just want you, if this is speaking to you, I'm going to pray this prayer for you. And grab hold of it right now. If it's not speaking to you and you're doing good, you understand it and all and things are good, well, glory to God. Don't stop practicing righteousness. So Father, right now I just pray for everyone in here. I ask you, Lord God, to put upon their hearts right now, to let their eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they can see and to know what your righteousness really is. It's by the blood of Jesus. Lord, those that are listening, those that are watching today, Lord, I just pray that wherever they are, whatever's going on, that, Lord, that they would grab hold of the revelation of righteousness. And that it's not by works, but it's by faith in Jesus Christ that our sins are washed away. Lord, I declare today that that living bird flew off to heaven, or that living bird flew off, Lord. And when you went to heaven, you made that pact for us. You're the bird that flew to heaven for us, Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray over each and every one of us that no longer will the enemy have an advantage over us, because the truth is known today. The truth is known today. Now, Lord, I praise you for that. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for that. Touch them and bless them. Lord, let us live in such a way in the trees of life that we become soul winners for you. We become people that are always out telling everyone the good news. Thank you for it, Jesus. Now, church, if you're in here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the first thing you need to do is ask him to be your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and you'd believe in your heart and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, he'd come to live in you. You've got to make the first step, though. You got to ask him. You got to ask him. So here in just a minute, I want to have the prayer team come down. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to come pray with one of them here at the end. If you're listening by audio or watching by video, I want to tell you something. You just need to call out on the name of Jesus and he'll be there to save you. But church, don't leave this building today in guilt and shame. Don't leave this building today with leprosy on your life. Thank you, Jesus. Can I have my prayer team come down now? I'm going to pray over this service. I'm going to dismiss y'all. We got dinner on the grounds. We got food over in the next building. We want to eat together. We're going to have some fellowship today. We want to have a good time. Make a new friend today. Make a new friend today. But if you need prayer, we're down here for you. So take that person's hand beside you. Father, I declare right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for this word. I thank you for today. I ask you to bless that one on our left and our right. Let this word be sealed within their hearts. Lord, if there's anyone here today that needs prayer, we're down here for them. I thank you for your miracles and your power working in their lives. And I declare, Lord, all our food is blessed, our fellowship is blessed, and that, Lord, we just continue to walk in your presence today and win souls in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hey, God bless you. Remember, Brother Ivan will be here next week. Bring somebody.